were twins. When they were ready to be born, the Bible says that Esau was born first. But just about the time he was delivered, a little old hand shot out of the womb and got a hold of his heel and said, "Big Bubba, you're first, but I'm right behind. Amen, I'm coming on here." And because of that act, they called him Jacob, heel grabber or supplanter. And all of his life, it was like that. For them, life apparently was a competition. And from that point on, there was always one trying to get ahead of the other. They were very different, as children often are, born in the same home. The Bible says that Esau was a man of the field. He loved to hunt, and he became very good at the art of hunting. And the Bible says simply that he was a hairy man. And he was covered apparently with red hair, and he was a rugged outdoor individual. Jacob, on the other hand, was more domestic. He kind of liked hanging around home, and he was kind of a homebody apparently. And it came to pass that parents did the wrong thing. Parents should never choose favorites, but they did. The Bible says that his father, Isaac, he really loved Esau. And the mother, Rebekah, really loved Jacob. And so there was a little tension in the home. And if you choose children in your home and you elevate one above the other, there's going to have some tension in your house. There's going to be some problems in your house. And that's exactly what happened. And yes, problems were created because of that. And so they continued to grow, and they became men. And this story is very interesting, what we called the giving of a birthright. Now, birthright was an inheritance. The firstborn son, by birthright, simply because he was born first, he got two-thirds of his father's inheritance, and the next son got one-third of the father's inheritance. Didn't seem quite fair, does it? But that's the way it was done in those times. And not only that, but he became the leader of the family. And he had spiritual blessings that came with being the firstborn. And remember, he didn't beat Jacob by much. Just a few seconds was all that separated the two. And but the one day Esau came in from the field, and he had been out hunting, and he had a bad day. He didn't get anything. And he was very hungry when he came in. And his brother was cooking, and he had a good pot of beans ready. And so he comes in, and Esau comes over to Jacob, and he says, "Give me a bowl of those beans." And he said, "No, sir." And he said, "Yes." He said, "I'm about to die, brother. Amen. Give me a bowl of beans." And he said, "I will, but you got to give me the birthright." And Esau, a man of his flesh, a man that only could think in the present tense, said to his brother Jacob, "I'll give you the birthright. What good's it going to do me if I die?" Amen. Now you see, there's a man of passion. He wasn't ready to die. He's still standing, walking around. He could have cooked his own beans and lived. But you see, the Bible said he didn't cherish his birthright. And God saw some things that were in his heart. You see, he didn't know how to cherish the right things. He lived for the moment. He lived for the flesh. He lived for the present thrill. He lived for the present time. He didn't know how to value spiritual things. And but Jacob had an appreciation for those things. And so Esau actually sold his birthright for just a bowl of beans. Isn't that a travesty? Or are there people today that are selling their spiritual birthright for that kind of thing today? There still are, aren't there? Things as trivial, things as unimportant, things as temporal, things as passing as a bowl of beans. And people are selling their soul for just such trivial things. And it's still going on today. So he sold his birthright, but in order to get the birthright, it had to come with a blessing. Time went on a little further. One day, Rebecca heard Isaac tell his son Esau. He said, "You go and you get a deer today and fix some venison. I'm going to give you the blessing today." And so when she heard that, she wanted the blessing for her son, Jacob. And so they devised a scheme to deceive this man who was by now old and blind. And so the Bible says that they cooked up some goat that tasted. How you make goat taste like venison, I don't know. But I guess if you're, you know, elderly, your taste buds are dying anyway. So it wasn't real sensitive, you know. I'm talking about a guy who's over 100 years old, you know. He's not a spring chicken. And then he's you know, he's old, he's blind, and things are just not real going real well. So he they fix up a pot of goat, and they spice it up like they know he likes it. And Jacob says, "But Mama," said he, "my brother, remember, he's a hairy guy, and I'm not hairy." And she said, "We can fix that." And so, can you see the deception going on here, folks? Of course, his clothes covered all of his body except for his hands and the back of his neck. So she devised a plan, and she said, "Well, we'll put hair where you need hair." And so they did that. They put that hair on his hands, back of his neck, and comes in, and he asked for the blessing. Isaac said, "Well, you sound like Jacob, but..." Then you smell like Jacob, but this venison sure tastes good. Tastes to me like Esau venison. And so she said, "Well, let me feel your hands." And so he felt his hands and he felt his neck, and he said, "It's the voice of Jacob, but sure enough, it's the hands of Esau." And he laid his hands on him and began to bless him. Hey, parents, guess what? You can still bless your children today. You can still pray blessings on your family today. Amen. God can still bring blessing into your home today. But you be careful what you bring into your home. By the presence of what you bring in there can either bless your children or curse your children. Amen. And so you got a godly home, you can bring blessing into your home. Amen. You be careful what you allow there. Amen. You be careful what the kind of entertainment you allow in your home. You bring Hollywood in your home, you get Hollywood. Amen. You bring rock stars in your home, you get rock stars. Amen. Praise God. You bring those things in your home, that's what you're going to get. You bring godliness in your home, you're going to get godly. You bring goodness in your home, you're going to get goodness. You bring love in your home, you're going to have love. You bring fairness and generosity in your home, you're going to have fairness and generosity. What you bring into your house is what you're going to have. Amen. Amen. And so it's important. So he brought blessing on his child. And blessing came into the life of Jacob. But he got it the wrong way. And Esau, about the time he leaves out, Esau comes in and he says, "Father, bless me." And his dad said, "Son, I can't. I've already prayed the blessing on your son, on your brother." And Esau had something born in his heart that day. And he told him, he said, "When your papa dies," he said, "you just get ready. I'm going to kill you. Your day's coming." And so he began to flee for his life. The Bible said that he had to leave home. Now, he was a mama's boy. He loved his mama. It's okay to love your mama. Amen. It's all right. But he had to leave and never saw her again. She died before he got to come back. He left with a blessing, but he left penniless. He left broke. He left without anything. And he fled for his life. Amen. But the Bible says that he met God, and the Lord had promised him some things, and the Lord appeared to him. Now, you talk about being hard up. Here's a man with nothing but the clothes on his back. I mean, he had to pull a rock up and use it for a pillow to sleep on. You ever tried sleeping on a rock? No wonder he had a dream. Amen. But he had a God-given vision. The Bible says the Lord appeared to him. And he saw this ladder that reached all the way into heaven. Angels were ascending and descending the ladder. And the Lord's voice began to speak to him. And he said, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bring you back to this place again. And God's blessing was upon Jacob. And God's promises were given to Jacob. And the scripture said when he woke up the next morning, he woke up and he realized what he had seen. And he realized what he had heard. And he said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, but I knew it not. It's sad, folks, to be in the presence of God and not know what you were in, not know where you are, not know what you're feeling. And hear me, the presence of the Lord is in this house today. The sweet fellowship of God's Holy Spirit is in this house today. And if you will feel after Him and you will seek Him, you will find Him. And He will become very real and very genuine to you. And you can receive His blessings into your life today. Amen. And so he was in that place. God's blessing was with him. He built an altar there. He made some promises there. And then he went on to his uncle Laban's house. When he got to Laban's house, things began to change. Now, if you, what usually happens to people that have a particular problem in your life is you get hooked up to somebody just like you. If you lie to people, you're going to get lied to. If you cheat people, you're going to get cheated. The Lord knows just how to hook you up with just the right fella. Amen. Just the right individual. And that's exactly what happened to Jacob. Jacob was a cheater, and the Lord said, I'm going to hook you up with the cheater of cheaters. Your uncle Laban, he really knows how to cheat. Amen. You think you're good, Jacob? He's better. So he got to, you remember the story, came to Laban's house and fell in love with a beautiful lady named Rachel. I know exactly how he feels. Amen. That's my wife's name. And so he fell in love with Rachel and he goes to the father. He don't have anything, remember? And in those days you had to buy your wife. You had to pay for your wife. You had to give a dowry for your wife. And so he comes and said, I don't have anything. And Laban says, well, if you'll work 7 years for me. 7 years? He must have been in love with that woman. He said, I'll do it. Man, he went to work. The Bible said he worked 7 years. It seemed to him like a day just because he loved her so much. Wedding day came. Ceremony is over. Now, back in those days, you know, they covered them up. All you could see was eyeballs. Amen. And the next day he wakes up and the tent rolls over, and lo and behold, it was Leah, the sister. And he comes boiling out of the tent, runs down to Laban's house, and he says, what in the world have you done, man? Said, you gave me the wrong wife. And Laban says, oh, I forgot to tell you, we got a little custom here. That the eldest has to be married first, and she was born before Rachel, so I had to marry her off before I can marry Rachel off. He said, but if you'll work 7 more years, you can have Rachel. I told you he was a cheater. God hooked him up with somebody just as bad, if not worse, than he was. And so sure enough, he works 7 more years to get the wife that he wanted. Finally gets Rachel to be his wife. Now he's got two wives. Double trouble. And it gets worse than that. I'm not going into that part of the story. But it gets a lot worse than that. Amen. And so there's a lot of tension, a lot of trouble going on here. But blessing is coming. God begins to increase him. Remember, he came there with nothing. 20 years later, he not only left with two wives, but he had 12 sons and a daughter. Not only did he have 12 sons and a daughter, but he had camels. And he had sheep, and he had donkeys, and he had cattle. He had everything, every kind of livestock, and that was the money of the day. And that was that's what really mattered back then. It wasn't how much money you had, it's how much livestock you had, because that was money. And so as far as you could see, God had blessed him. He came in with nothing. But he had something else. He had something that, when it was probably the last thing he saw before he closed his eyes at night. And it was probably the first thing he thought of in the morning. And that was Esau. Inside of his heart, there was this fear. Esau said, he was going to get me. And Esau's a hunter. He's a cunning man. He's a man of the field. He's really good with a bow and arrow. He's really good with a spear. He's really good with a sling. He's going to get me one of these days. He promised that he would. So when he peeked his head out the tent, he was looking for Esau. And while he was herding his sheep, he was looking for Esau. Everywhere he went, he was looking for Esau. Esau was the fear that was in his heart. And he was constantly fearful of Esau. Now, it might not be Esau you're afraid of today, but you have some fears in your life. There are some things that haunt you, and some things that bother you, and some things that bind you because of fear. You know, some people are afraid of not fitting in. And so they'll do things that they really know they shouldn't do, and things they really don't want to do, simply because they fear, more than anything, not fitting in to a group. You know why most people start smoking? Not because it's natural. What's the first thing you do when you get around the fire? Cover up your mouth. Don't want that smoke in my lungs here, right? So you see, that's not natural. How do you get started? Because the group, somebody starts smoking, and so you say, and they offer you one, huh? How do most people get started drinking? You know, alcohol's not something that tastes real good, something you had to acquire a taste for. It's not a normally acquired taste, but you can get used to it if you do it long enough. And so how do you get started? Somebody gives you a drink. How do you get started with drugs? Same way. Somebody says, this is good, man, and you want to be part of us, and I want to be part of you. So you get started on something you wouldn't have done otherwise. You wouldn't have done otherwise. It happens constantly, you see. This fear of rejection, this fear of not belonging. You see how fear can rule people's lives? Does it happen to adults? Yeah, it happens to adults. Fear makes people lie. People will lie and still tell them the truth because they're afraid to tell the truth. You see, that's fear. That's how it rules your life. Fear is something, y'all go ahead, boys, and not create a commotion here, if you would, please. Amen. And so fear rules people's lives. And it gets in, it's like Jacob looking for Esau. Where is he? Fearful. Constantly fearful. You see, Esau's out there somewhere. He knew he was going to get him. And there came a day that Jacob said, it's time to go home. I'm just going to have to take the medicine. I'm going to have to face Esau. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of looking for Esau every day. I'm going home, regardless of what it cost, regardless of what happens. I'm going home. And so he, fearful of his Laban, his father-in-law, he tries to sneak off and gets caught. You see, fear, when it rules your life, it makes you sneaky. You're not enjoying anything because of fear controls your life. It's hard to make any decisions because of fear. There's all kinds of fears that come in people's lives. The word fear comes from a Greek word, phobia. And we know about phobias, right? Like acrophobia, which means fear of heights. And claustrophobia, which is a fear of closed places. And agoraphobia, which is fear of crowds or open places. And agoraphobia, which is fear of work. A lot of folks have that one. And phobophobia, which is fear of fear. And there's hundreds of phobias that people have. Hundreds of phobias or hundreds of fears. And fear just rules people's lives. And so Jacob says, I'm going home. And he gets his family and he gets his flocks and his herds. And he heads for home. Long journey. As he makes the journey, he gets close to home. He's got to face his fear. You know, the only way to overcome fear is to face it. And so he gets there and he tells his servants, he says, I want you to go meet my brother Esau. And he gives them this gift of all of these herds. He gives them camels and cows and sheep and goats and all of that. And he sends them ahead and he says, I want you to give these gifts to my brother. And he's trying to make a way to settle his fear. And after a while, his servants come back and they said, Esau is coming to meet you and he has 400 men with him. Woo! That make me kind of scared. And God's coming with 400 men. Said, sounds like he's got an unforgiveness in his heart. Amen. You can see why he was afraid, right? And then he does another foolish thing. The Bible said he divides his home. If there's ever a time you need unity in your home, it's whenever you're facing fear. If there's ever a time you need unity in your house, it's when you have problems and trouble. That's a time to unify, not divide. But you see, because his mom and daddy chose favorites, he chose favorites. So he says, I want the servants, I want y'all to go first. So he had these two concubines, and he sends them and the sons that he had by them up first. And then after that, he puts Leah and the sons that were born to Leah after that, and find at the back of the line is himself. Isn't that sad? See what fear will do? Fear causes him to sacrifice his children and his wife and his family, everything to save himself. Fear. Fear's ruling his life. But he did one right thing. He had a prayer meeting. I don't know if it was by choice. I don't know exactly how this happened. I know the story, but I don't know how it happened. I just know that he crossed over this brook called Jabbok, and all of a sudden somebody grabbed a hold of him in the dark. Now that would have scared me. And he did the thing. He started wrestling. He started fighting for his life. Amen. And he fought for hours. Hours. He wrestled and he fought. You ever tried to sleep with fear? It's a terrible bed partner. You can't sleep when you're fearful. It causes you to toss and to turn. And not all fear is the same. Not all fear. Some of it just nags you. Like fear of being able to pay the bills. Fear of losing your job. Fear of losing your home. Fear of losing your family. Fear of losing a relationship. All these fears. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? You ever try to sleep with any of that stuff going on? It just takes the sleep right out of you. It takes what little bit of sleep you get, it's not restful. You wake up the morning and you feel worse than you did before you went to bed. And all day long it nags you. It's at your heels. That's what fear does to a person. And that's exactly what happened to Jacob. He wrestled all night. And instead of sleeping, he wrestled. And he wrestled with this individual. And finally, the guy reaches down and he touches somehow his thigh. And he throws his whole thigh at a joint. And now then he's wrestling and he's got pain in his body. And he has no balance. But he holds on to him. And he suddenly begins to realize, what I'm wrestling with here is the answer. I'm not just wrestling with fear anymore, but I got a hold of an answer here now. Hallelujah. And so he begins to tell the answer. He says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the answer says, I've got to go. He said, no, I'm not letting go. I'm through wrestling. Now I'm just hanging on with everything that I've got. And I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he got right down to the nitty-gritty. And finally the answer says to Jacob, he says, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a heel grabber. I'm a supplanter. And he said, not anymore, you're not. He said, from this point on, thy name shall be called Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. Let me tell you how to wrestle with God and win the wrestling match. You just give in to the will of God and you become a winner, because he wants you to win all the time. God wanted to win before he started. Amen. And he came out of that wrestling match a winner. Amen. He came out with a changed heart. And he came out with a changed life. And he came out with a new name and a new destiny. Amen. And he conquered his fear. After that, he went out to meet Esau. What will be, will be. God's going to somehow take care of it. He still didn't know how God was going to take care of it. He still didn't know what was going to happen. But he knew that it was in the hands of the Lord and that it was going to somehow be all right. And you know what happened? When Esau saw his brother Jacob, he ran and threw himself on his neck and started hugging him. Amen. And they were not wrestling anymore, but they were hugging one another and they were crying and carrying on and getting reacquainted and introducing to families. And my, what a blessing. And finally he says, you remember that blessing that I stole from you? He said, you can have that because look how the Lord has blessed me. And Jacob said, oh, no, no, no. I don't want it anymore. Look how God's blessed me. Amen. You see what happens whenever you get things right, how fear can be taken care of in your life. But you got to face your fears. I was a sick little boy. I was laying in my room one night, and my back was to the door. The nightlight was on. I'm not afraid of the dark, just what I think's in it. And so I had my back to the door, and I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I heard a noise. The door opens up. Footsteps come in. And all of a sudden, I see this huge shadow on the wall. And I see a hand reaching out. And I close my eyes. I can't even speak. I'm so afraid. I'm just laying there shaking and thinking, this is it. This is it. Go ahead, kill me. Get it over with. Just do it fast. Just about the time the hand reaches me, my mom says, Johnny. I sure was glad to see Mom. But you see what fear does? Fear had my goose cooked and served. I thought it was all over. Fear. Amen. Teddy Roosevelt was afraid to go to church. His mom said, why are you afraid, son? He said, there's this thing there called zeal. And he said, I don't know what zeal is. He said, but I'm scared of it. And he said, I'm not going there because zeal's out to get me. And she said, zeal, what do you mean? He said, I don't know. He said, but zeal, I heard zeal's there. And he said, zeal is going to eat me up. He was so afraid to go to church because of zeal. And his mama got the concordance down for the Bible, started going through and started looking up the word zeal. And they come across a verse in John chapter 2:17. And Jesus said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And he was so scared to go to church because zeal was there and it was going to get him. Amen. And when his mom spoke to him what zeal was, it's just enthusiasm. It's excitement. Excitement to be in the house of the Lord. Excitement to be in the things of God. You're all excited about serving the Lord. That's what that means. He said, oh. And it took away his fear of the house of God. I don't know what phobia that is. Churchophobia, I guess. And so he said, thank you. I'm so glad that we learned what zeal is. You see, sometimes it's just as simple as understanding something. Sometimes it's just as simple as knowing what a word means. There was a missionary in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, there was some guerrilla groups that got together, some rebel groups, and they said, and they had a list of people they were going to assassinate, and the missionary's name was on the list. So they set out at a certain night, and they laid in wait for him with their rifles, and when he drove by, they were going to assassinate him. And just before his car came into sight, suddenly it seemed as if it was miraculously, there was this thick fog that just fell instantly. And it scared those guerrillas and those rebels. And they said, this is divine intervention. God must be protecting this man. And they fled and they ran away. And you know what the missionary did? He said, God, what in the world is this fog doing like this? Here I am trying to do the work of God. All I can see is a bunch of fog. I'm just trying to get where I'm going. Look at this fog I got to get through. So what he do is complaining about the very thing that God sent to save his life. That how fear can work in your life. You got to face your fears. Amen. You got to face your fears. You got to overcome fears. Amen. And God helps us miraculously to do that. Amen. The scripture has a lot of things to say. In Psalm 34, David said, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me out of all of my fears. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. And there is no want to them that fear him. Many afflictions are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. God is a deliverer. Hallelujah. David said, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 35:4 said, say to them that are of a faithful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He shall come and save you. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And John chapter 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Amen. There's something about perfect love that takes fear. When you love God with all your heart, you know one thing. He's going to take care of me. Somehow, some way, He's going to take care of me. The parents had gone next door and left the little girl alone. They thought wouldn't be a problem. They were just next door. And they said, honey, we're just right next door. And we're going to be right back in just a little while. So you know where we are if you need us. Everything's going to be all right. But while they were there, a sudden storm blew up. And they couldn't get home quickly enough. Even though they dashed out, as soon as they heard the thunder, they thought, oh, our little darling's going to be afraid. So they ran out of the house and down the sidewalk, across the front of the sidewalk and toward the house. And they come into the house just as the lightnings were flashing, the rains were slashing down, the thunders were rolling. And as they neared the front door, they heard a little voice lifted up, and they could hear their daughter singing. And she was singing just as loud as she could. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Because the Bible tells me so. They could hear those words. They flung the front door open. And they dashed in with concern written across their face. And they saw the little girl. She was standing on the coffee table on top of the Bible, singing just as loud as she could, standing on the Bible. And they said, honey, what are you doing up there? She said, well, my Sunday school teacher said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. She said, I'm standing on the word of God. You hear me today? That's how you face your fears. You get your faith in the Word of God, and you stand on the Word of God. And when the storm is raging, and when the trouble comes, and when the floods rise, you stand on the Word of God, because it's never going to let you down. It'll never fail. Let's stand together today. Amen. Thank you for your time. Amen. You're going to have fear in your life. You're going to face it. You're going to have to face Esau someday. There are some folks, you have lived with fear almost all of your life. It's the last thing you think of before you fall asleep. And it's the first thing you think of when you open your eyes. Fear. How am I going to do this? You can fear things in the future. You can fear things in the past. You can fear things in the present. Amen. But the cure for fear is to put everything you have in the hands of the Lord. Your past, your future, and your present. Just take it all. Give it to Him. Amen. You see, there we have fear of things in the past. We think, you know, if people knew that about me, they wouldn't love me. If people knew what I had done, they wouldn't love me. You take that fear and you put it in the hands of God. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to make it. The future doesn't look good. This economy's a mess. I'm fearful. I'm so afraid of what's going to happen in the future. No, you don't worry about that. We know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. So you take the fears of the future and you put it in the hands of God. And things you struggle with right now, things you have to face day by day. Some of you may have some physical problem. You have some spiritual problem. You have something you're dealing with. Why don't you just take it, put it in the hands of the Lord, and say, God, I can't handle this. It's bigger than me. I just need you to help me today. And get rid of your fears. Face them. Give them to God. Then after you've done that, just love Him. And I promise He'll take care of all of it. He'll take care of all of it. And you never need to fear like that again. Amen. I'd like to open this service for prayer this morning. If somebody needs to face some fear, you need to get rid of some fears today. This altar's open to you. Amen. This would be the best time in your life to get rid of your fears right now. Just come and lay them on the altar and say, God, I'm sick of living in fear. I'm sick of carrying this around with me every day of my life. I'm going to put it in your hands today. I'm going to put it in your hands. Your word said I could do this. And so I'm going to get rid of my fears today. And I'm going to walk out of here with a peace that passes understanding.